back to the show, The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. Bradley's on vacation. One more day on the cruise. He'll be back tomorrow, but we're lucky enough to have Chris Eggert in the studio with us.
I'm not sure you're lucky, but... Yeah.
We are.
I do feel pretty good about Blind Item today.
Did you?
Yeah.
A couple of them. Yeah, you got a couple of them. I felt like we really stressed Mike out.
Yeah, I think we did.
We did great.
It took us quite a while to arrive at the right answers, but
it's fine. Yeah, it's all good.
It's fine.
Listen to that in podcast form if you missed it. Blinded by the Item. Just search for it wherever you get your podcasts. Ray J is sad. And I would be sad, too, if two of my very expensive vehicles were missing. So he has a car collection, and which is like, okay. But two of them that were supposed to be on an enclosed car carrier to New York City Friday night are missing. And that would be two Maybach SUVs.
This is a Mercedes-Benz SUV that, like, it's base price is like $180,000, and that's not even
that's the bargain basement price.
I'm building one on the Mercedes-Benz website right now. And I'm, while you're talking about this, I'm going to build and see how high I can get it. Just by the time we get to this $25,000 extra for the Night Series package. Absolutely.
I don't even know what that Night Series.
Yep, I don't know.
It's probably lights up the street when you open the doors, you know, and
seems,
all that cool
seems
stuff.
Seems reasonable, right?
Yeah, mood lighting inside, who knows? But yeah, they've got to be at least, it doesn't say, but I'm thinking he added like 100,000 extra.
I mean,
you could do that easily, right?
Yeah, I just added two little things, like the exclusive Napa package, which is some kind of an interior upgrade. Mm. I'm already at 213,000.
Okay, keep going.
So I'm going to keep going.
Yes.
What color do you guys want?
Do they do it in platinum?
Yeah, here, let's go back. Black metallic, obsidian black metallic, Sonoran brown, emerald green metallic, gray metallic, alpine gray, moonlight white, Mojave silver.
What's the most?
These different. The first colors were all no extra.
What are the extra?
15,000.
Oh.
15,000. 15,000. Yeah, so at least 15,000 for a certain color.
Okay, get
we'll
that
go with this one.
Get that one. So the thing is that they were supposed to be on this transported to New York. So he's reached out to the shipping company in charge of moving the cars. They say he's not getting a straight answer on where exactly they are right now, or he said that. Now the police are involved. They're investigating. They're currently missing and not stolen as far as anyone knows. But the trackers say that they're just sitting in Reno.
What?
Yeah, they weren't put on the truck, or I don't know where they started out, but they're just somewhere in Reno.
Germany? I mean, they're Mercedes.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're building them, but
yeah,
okay,
weird.
Why would it be in Reno? Nobody wants to be stuck in Reno.
Well, if you're looking to buy a very expensive vehicle for a cheaper price on the black market, I don't know. Maybe you do want to be in Reno.
You can get a refrigerator box for the rear cabin for $1,100
extra. Wow.
You can get handcrafted silver champagne flute holders.
Yes,
for $800, which seems like a great idea to have champagne while you're driving your car.
Well, you know, the people in the back, if someone's driving you, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm assuming.
Trailer hitch. Yeah, like somebody's hauling anything in this. Take the boat down to the river. Stupid.
God. Yeah, please don't hitch anything to your Maybach.
These things, I don't know how many people in Radioland are familiar with what these are. That it looks to me kind of like an upscale Mercedes SUV that sort of is pushing into the Tesla territory, but it's way fancier.
Mm.
I mean, it's cool, but it's not like I think if you saw this driving down the road, you'd think it'd be like if somebody said that's a Buick, it costs $40,000. You might go, oh, okay,
yeah.
I mean, you see the Mercedes, you think it's more, but
it just doesn't seem like the price is worth it. What is it going to do? Is it also a time machine?
Right. Well, especially if they're going to lose the car.
Yeah. No kidding. I mean, there are trackers.
That's what I'm wondering here. As I'm building it my own, at some point, as I'm building, they're going to, it's just like building a pair of shoes or something. At some point, I'm guessing they're going to want to talk about payment before they go ahead and start building.
Yeah, rest assured.
Let's assume.
You're not going to be accidentally ordering.
Let's assume you're paying up front, right?
Did you have to put in an email address?
I'm not there yet.
Okay, don't do that.
No, I don't want the.
You're just dreaming.
Mercedes could send me all the emails they want. I'm not ever going to be able to purchase any of their products.
Probably not. For me, but I don't know if I would want one. I think I would want
I'd be so nervous.
More of an off-road type of vehicle.
I mean, I'm sure it's a four-wheel drive
really that
will never actually touch. Like it will never get in any moisture. It will never be in rain. It will never be in snow.
No way. And the minute it is, your car attendant will be wiping it down.
Get that. Wow. Well, thanks for opening my eyes to this even being a thing, because these are crazy.
Hey, you know what? You don't know what's going to happen in your life. Did you play the Powerball?
Mega Millions and Powerball.
Did you?
Nobody won in both of them. And so they're both getting, I think the Mega Millions might be up to like the fifth highest jackpot ever right now. So you could buy yourself a
Maybe this Maybach. Is a premonition. Not former self, future self.
Yeah.
Knows that you're gonna win.
I'm gonna get a Maybach.
Okay.
I'm gonna roll in here.
Please put a hitch on it.
Yeah, with a hitch, pulling my $2,000 fishing boat behind it. How you doing?
Yeah, and then you're out on the lake.
Let's go
and
get
you're
some
kind
coffee.
Of you're pulling away from the dock and you're like, "Should we leave that up there by itself? I think we should just let's just stay real close to the shore."
We should have an attendant stay with the car. Wow, that's crazy.
I'm assuming that if you want to steal this or if you had plans to steal it, you would know how to remove the tracker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like criminals know. So the trackers are sitting in Reno somewhere, but that doesn't mean the car.
This could be some like, it sounds like the plot of a movie.
It does.
Like a very high, this could be the next Vin Diesel, Fast and Furious, whatever he's on, 75.
Yeah.
A car stealing, high-end car ring run by Mexican drug cartels.
Oh, boy. I mean, that was easy. You just created the plot.
Boom.
It's
Vin,
probably already happened.
That was Fast Five.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say. Yeah. Wow. I know the last one, they went into space. Was this the last one that they took their car to space?
It was either one or the previous one. Yeah, they actually put a rocket on the back of the car, shot it out of an airplane, and then they launched it into space.
Oh, my God. And people keep going to those movies. Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
You love them, don't you, Mike?
Not at all.
Oh.
No. I hate them.
I thought you hate them.
I loved the first one.
Yeah.
And the second one, actually, I have a fun, like, nostalgic value of.
Because
and
of
the
Paul
rest,
Walker?
It just got worse and worse. It was one of my first dates ever. Too Fast, Too Furious.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Was the date Too Fast and Too Furious?
Ultimately, yes, I guess so.
Oh, was it Sarah?
No.
It was somebody else.
No.
Well, we'll drop that conversation.
It was like high school. I was like a...
okay.
It was like ninth grade or something.
I have no recollection. I just don't know how old... I ask him from time to time how old he is, but I don't know how old Mike is. You're kind of like forever young. I think of you as like a 25-year-old, but I think you're older than that.
Forever young. He's got a sweet AC/DC shirt on today.
Thanks.
Yeah, I like that.
So do I.
All right. Well, we hope you get your Maybox back,
Can somebody
sir.
Tell me, I'm going to go ahead and show you how ignorant I am to some of these things, the ways of the world.
Yeah.
Is Ray J a music performer?
Oh, sure. Okay.
He's a movie star.
He is a movie star. Do you know, there's one in particular. Do you know a woman named Kim Kardashian?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
He was in her movie.
That tape was Ray J and Kim.
So is he famous just because of that?
No, his sister is Brandy, the singer, also. And they had a reality show for a while, but yeah, he's.
Okay.
But yeah, he's famous just for that. Yeah,
he is
basically.
Famous. He is will always be famous for that.
Kind of like Tommy Lee became famous and it had nothing to do with or little to do with his I shouldn't use the word little.
Don't use that
but
word.
Had nothing to do with his drum playing in Motley Crue. It was
mostly
the performance. Yeah.
He was playing the drum without any sticks. Okay. But all right.
Last week Last week it was Orlando Bloom. Now we've come around to Tommy Lee.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We're definitely we're going there, aren't we?
There we go.
Oh boy. Well, that was fun. Mm-hmm. Well, sir, I hope you get your cars back.
I hope he gets his cars back.
Good
too.
Luck to him. Okay, moving on. Coming up next, Chris has a beautiful story about marriage being up and divorce being down. Coming up next.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. Sans Bradley, he'll be back tomorrow, but we're lucky enough to have Chris Eggert in the studio with us, bringing all the good stories.
Are you feeling lucky?
I am. Hey, I'm going to... Yeah, are you like now running a poker table or something?
Yeah,
are you feeling lucky?
I think I would be in the same situation as Bruno Mars.
Yeah. Now, Mike, we need to go gambling.
Mike, you're a good. Are you good?
Yeah.
Are you good?
He loves to gamble, but not to excess. He has budgets that he sets for himself.
Well, of course, you have to have that, or else you'll end up like you said, like Bruno Mars.
That's very right. Smart.
Yes. Okay. This is some good news.
Kind of. It's okay. An interesting headline that I caught this morning. But if you read into it a little bit more, I'm not really sure. You guys tell me what you think. Okay. So the headline is marriage rates are up and divorce rates are down.
Okay.
New data shows.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it's a great thing.
I'm interested, right? Let's hear more about this.
What's the reason?
Well, let's start with this. Number of marriages took a dive around the start of the pandemic, numbers show. For the last two decades, the number of marriages stayed around 7 or 8 per 1,000, according to the Centers for Disease Control. In 2020, the marriage rate was down to 5.1 per 1,000 people, which makes sense.
Yeah,
it was COVID lockdown.
Just put them off.
People couldn't get married. So then when we started coming out of COVID, then more people were getting married. So then it went up to 6.2 people per 2 million.
Okay.
I know you're following all these stats, right?
No, I am, totally.
So the marriage rates have gone up, but they haven't gone up from like historical highs. They are just up from where we were in COVID, which makes perfect sense, right?
Right.
What I thought was more interesting here is that divorce rates are going down. So in the year 2000, four people per 1,000 got married or got divorced.
Oh, that
this is. This is in the year 2000.
Okay.
And the divorce rate in the last data year that they've got here is 2.4 per 1,000.
Oh.
So what do you think would be the reason why fewer people are getting divorced?
Oh, God. This is such a downer thing to say, but they can't afford it.
That's 100%.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm just look at Kim and Croy, Kim Bierman and Croy Bierman. Do you know who they are?
No.
Okay.
I thought, is that somebody who works here?
Yeah. It's like a real housewife and then a former NFL player.
Yeah.
They're a mess. They can't sell their home. They're divorced or trying to get divorced, but they have to live in the same mansion.
Which makes for a great storyline, but.
They also have a lot of gambling debts.
But to that point, there are some factors economically right now that in just selling a house because the way interest rates have gone the way they've gone.
Yeah.
And the divorce piece. I thought that was really interesting. But then I was thinking about that. And we're in such a world now where you can kind of escape into your phone or sort of escape into a whatever kind of reality you want to escape into. I guess part of me is then also wondering, like, if people who maybe would have gotten divorced in
there's so much other entertainment.
Yeah, they're like, whatever. She can sit in the other room, and I'll just sit here, and I'll be on my phone, or I'll
I'll stream something on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, or I'll sit here with my VR headset on, and I got my next girlfriend's right here. I mean, I guess you just kind of wonder that on top of the you know, the costing, which makes perfect sense. But.
Right. I wonder what the average, I just sit here and wonder on the air, and I wonder what the average divorce costs people.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, and you feel like that's probably gone up like everything else has.
Yeah.
It's they're talking about that during the COVID lockdown, people were like stuck together.
Sure.
And there were.
And that's why people wanted to get divorced.
Yeah. No. Because they realized after like being locked in the house. Like, listen, we can be married, but I don't want to be locked in the house with you for 6 months.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Average cost.
Recent Forbes article says it's somewhere in the $15,000 to $20,000 range. But obviously, there's no one size fits all.
Yeah. Very dependent on what your income is and
what assets you have that you need to split up. And
now they do say more changes over the last two decades may have helped. Therapy has become more normalized. Roles in marriages have become more flexible.
Oh, great. So these are the positive things.
Yeah, yeah. And people are more used to talking openly about how they want their marriages to work.
I think that's an awesome thing.
It's 1975 that those conversations weren't happening, right?
Oh, like absolutely not.
Right.
No. I mean, people were just like, well, what drugs do I have available to take to make me feel okay?
I guess
okay.
I'll go out and
just take some cocaine, just make everything go away, you know?
We're also apparently, according to this article, again, this is CNN.com, another big change recently is the way that people enter marriages.
Mm.
A gradual shift from the romantic marriage to the more companionate marriage.
Companion marriages.
Yes. So you are marrying somebody who you really want to spend time with, more like you're marrying your best friend than a passion partner, their expert said.
This is long term. You should be. I've never been married, but I'm thinking you should want to go beyond the romantic stuff because that isn't always going to be up at the level when you're first dating. So you better like them as a friend.
It's a very good point.
Yeah.
It's a very good point.
And, you know, discussing super important things, I don't think in the past people did that either. Like, how do you view finances? How should we split things, you know, down the middle? Or do we have a joint account where we both put money in? You know, I can't imagine combining my money with someone else ever.
That's so interesting.
But is that a part of marriage?
Well, I think everybody does that different. I know people who are married and have been married a long time, and they have separate accounts. We have ours all together because, quite frankly, neither one of us is all that great at math. So I figure between the two of us, we can sort of keep tabs on things. And then I don't, you know, but I know everyone's different when it comes to that.
Yeah, I think that I've seen that the biggest reason people do get divorced is because of money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're all different kinds of arrangements, though, like who's taking care of the kids? Is somebody staying at home? You know, there is a lot of value to that. They
Absolutely.
Might not be bringing home a paycheck, but staying at home with kids, a lot of times it's less expensive to do that than to work and have a sitter, you know, or have a daycare.
That's what we had to do with my wife. She was working in television a long time ago, and we had our first, and we were in Seattle, and we didn't have any family around. And it was like, well, by the time we put the kids into daycare and we both are at work, like this is, it's not a, you know, the math doesn't work out. So.
Right, right. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that helps for sure.
Why is this U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention?
Okay, you said that tracking, at first. I'm like, ones, what that, is disease in marriage?
That's jumping out at me, and it says a lot.
It's just like, she would be seeing it this way. Why are they tracking this? Is marriage a disease? That's what we're getting to.
No. Yeah, that's what it all ends with, I guess.
Well, you know, that's a good thing. Marriage rates are up. Divorce rates are down. Just overall, seeing that headline, I think, is good overall. We have a special guest coming up next. She is going to help us get organized. Her name is Corey McDougall, and she is a professional organizer. We'll talk to her next on My Talk.
Entertainment.
Hey, My Talkers, Bradley here for my good friends at your boat club. I cannot wait for the warmer weather. And here's the thing. If you're like me and you want to get out on the water with your friends and family this summer, now is the perfect time to take advantage of big savings at your boat club. In fact, this time of year is when preseason enrollment opens up. It's opening up soon. It's the best time of year to save on unlimited boating all season long. Now, the reason you want to go with your boat club, among 20 other reasons, they carefully limit the number of members they have to ensure that every member gets great boat availability. So if you want a boat on a particular lake or at a particular time on a particular weekend, go with your boat club. Head to yourboatclub.com. You're literally going to get the best savings on unlimited boating all year long. That's why Jamie and I signed up to do it again this year. I cannot wait to get back on the water, and I know you can't either. Yourboatclub.com. Tell them Bradley sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Happy Monday. Thanks for listening, my talkers. Bradley Traynor is on vacation. He will be back tomorrow, actually. We have Chris Eggert in the studio with us.
And then I'm going to go on vacation.
You are?
No.
Oh.
It sounded cool, though.
You should have
said yes. I
want
to go wherever Bradley was at.
I know.
Like, I'll be your guys' cabana boy.
That's right.
If they need a one-legged cabana boy, I could be that guy.
Yes. Well, I'm sure that they'd be glad to have you if you paid your own way.
Yeah,
you know?
right, exactly. Let's be honest about it.
And you had a separate room that you paid for.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this might get weird. Anyway.
Yeah, I think it would.
Let's talk to our guest who's in the studio with us. We have Corey McDougald, and you, ma'am, are a professional organizer. Let me turn your mic on. Oh, you've got it on. Good job.
Oh
yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Yes, and your business is Meat and Potatoes Organizing.
Love the name.
Yes. So
very cute.
I'm sure as most of your listeners might know, getting down to the basics, the meat and potatoes, but of your stuff, that is our business.
We're so glad to have you on today. I think a lot of people are trying to declutter in, you know, because it's already spring, even though it's going to snow. Chris told us this week.
But it's still, I think this has been just such a weird winter that people are already in the spring mindset and starting to think about how to begin decluttering. And I think the hardest thing is a lot of people who know, like, I've got to do something here. Like, this is ridiculous, but they get overwhelmed with knowing where to start.
Yeah. And that's where you come in.
Absolutely. So typically, when somebody says I'm overwhelmed and I don't know where to start, then the best thing you can do is have a professional organizer come take a look at it and give you an idea, because it really is the plan. And you want to think about the big picture, right? Not just decluttering this spring, but maybe set yourself up so you don't have to do it every single year or quarter or whatever. So it's kind of that strategy and plan behind what you're looking for in your family and how they operate.
And you just expanded your business. You were just in the Minnesota area.
Yep. So we are currently serving the Twin Cities and surrounding, like, 40-mile radius. But we also have moved down to La Crosse, Wisconsin, and Rochester, Minnesota. We've been working with a lot of doctors and nurses down there.
Oh,
and
sure.
That's been awesome.
Yeah.
We do some organizing up in Fargo, North Dakota as well.
Wow. When did you start your business?
So I actually started in the pandemic, you know, a great time to start a company. But
that's
as soon as we were allowed to go into people's homes, we did. We put our masks and gloves on and we started, and it really took off fast, I think. The pandemic was a turning point where people kind of got stuck. Their stuff accumulated around them. They're looking at it. You're working from home. You're trying to manage children, your schedule, your work, and they're frustrated and overwhelmed, right? So that was a great time, I think, to start an organizing company. And just coming in and decreasing the stress, allowing people to get that creativity back in their own space, because sometimes it just shuts down. If there's too much clutter, it's really hard to focus and do what you need to do. And so we just kind of started you know, that realm of coming in and saving the day. A lot of it was breaking down Amazon boxes that had accumulated for, you know, a year or two.
Oh, gosh. And, wow.
And seeing what needed to be returned and maybe sold or donated.
Okay. Now, that leads me to my next question. I wanted to know, whenever somebody says they don't know what they want to give up, or you help with that too, right?
Yeah.
So having people let go of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one of the big things we talk about in, like, let's say a consultation is like figuring out, okay, in your mind's eye, can you imagine the space exactly how you want it? What do you envision the space if it was a blank slate? How would it function? What would you do in this space? How would it make you feel? Like, what are the sensory inputs, right? And so that all comes into play. Once you can nail down how you want a room to focus, or maybe we can help you nail that down, then you can much easier make a decision about, does this item need to stay or go? Or could it live somewhere else? Because we're also not in the business of telling you you have to get rid of all your special things that do have meaning to you.
Yeah.
But does it need to live in your office, or does it need to live on the kitchen counters, which is where majority of people's clutter and mail ends up? So figuring out a better system and a better way to do that. But, you know, when your kids ask you why a million times.
Yeah.
We ask why a million times.
Yes, that's great.
Because when you say, well, this has meaning to me, and I say, well, why?
Yeah.
And then you have to explain it. And oftentimes we just have to have a conversation. And then eventually you're like, yeah, actually, I don't need this anymore.
Right.
I could let this go. Somebody else could use this. Maybe a donation place. Somebody could better use this right now in their life. And it doesn't serve me anymore. So we have those deeper conversations, which is hard to do on your own. Also with family, that can be.
That's the biggest thing, is people get defensive about it, and they take it as a personal attack when maybe you're just trying to help. And I think it's
coming from experience.
I've dealt with this with my late mother-in-law, and she passed, and we had to go through and clean the house out with my wife's siblings.
Hard.
And nobody wanted to get rid of anything. And I was the third party who came in on the outside. And however it worked out, everyone was like, okay. And I was like, that goes. Somebody needs to be that person.
Yes.
And sometimes I would say it would be easier to hire somebody like you guys to come in and do that and be that person.
Mm-hmm.
You're the bad guy.
Right. Or even we've done in the past where we've sorted an entire house or basement, like an estate, and then the family comes in and kind of shops the area, takes what they want, or maybe they, you know, have memories, because I don't know if they've had memories with something. They have to tell me.
Yeah.
So if we can at least see everything, they can visualize it. They can say, hey, yeah, that had meaning to me. I would really like that item. Then that's easier to make those decisions. And then whatever's left, it's like, well, now we donate as much as we can and recycle, and then, you know, go from there. But it's definitely good to have an unbiased opinion who doesn't have an emotional connection to the items.
Right.
It's going to save you so much time and just mental energy in the long run.
It's so true what you said about decluttering your space can declutter your mind or creativity. It allows you to create new things and move forward. It's psychologically, being surrounded by so much stuff can really weigh people down, I think.
Yep. Especially if it's reminding you of things you still need to do.
Oh.
Then subconsciously, that's sitting there in the back of your head, and you're trying to be the best person maybe at your job, and you're trying to think of these new brilliant ideas, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking about, oh, yeah, I have that bill to pay, and I have to schedule that appointment. And so what we kind of do is we can help facilitate getting those things off your plate, so each space in your home is designated to, like, your ideal. And that's different for everybody, too. So it just depends on the family, how many members there are, how busy they are, what are their running, you know, their typical running arounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think, and there's been enough of this, I can't remember the lady.
Oh, Marie Kondo.
Yeah, Marie Kondo. Yep. And there's been a lot of, like, more awareness, I think, culturally about sort of the benefits of having the clear space and the open space. What do you hear from clients who you've worked with, and you've come in and you've sort of help them declutter? What do you hear from them about how they feel now?
Yeah, so typically when we do our job and they really appreciate it. So like, let's say most of the time it's because they don't have time to do it, or when they do have time to do it, that's the last thing they want to do on Saturday, Sunday when they're not going to work.
So true.
So what we do is we try to streamline that process. When you walk into a space, you should have a feeling of calm, especially if it's your home and it's where you live and it's where you're supposed to decompress. If you're walking in and you're not feeling that calmness, then, you know, we got to rework the situation a little bit. But most of the time, they'll be like, there's a weight lifted off of my shoulders. I know where everything is. And that's also a caveat, because if you have kids, like I have two little kids at home, 5-year-old and 7-year-old. Yes, everything in my home has a home and a place. Mm. But is it always in that place? Oh, no.
But it does have a home and you know where it should go.
And so like, let's say somebody's coming to stay with us. I can quickly, within 30 minutes or less, put everything back into its home and it's ready to go. I don't, you know, and we've got clients who are like, I've been trying to get this room ready for 3 weeks. I've got company coming. You know, so we try to make it a much faster process for them, whether it's just tidying for themselves so they feel clarity, whether it's hosting somebody at their house and just wanting them to feel welcome in the space, or just doing a total transition. Like even during coming out of the pandemic, we transformed a lot of dining rooms into offices. Because there just wasn't an office in the house, but also nobody used the dining room table.
Mm-hmm.
So like, let's make that your space.
Make it a functional space.
Yeah. Right? And no one's telling you, you don't have to follow the rules of, you know, household dining room spaces. You can do whatever you want. So
I love this. And you help people, which is what I want to talk about next with you. You help people do the thing that not a lot of people that I know how to do, which is reselling stuff online.
Oh, man. Facebook Marketplace is the best and the worst.
He's obsessed with it.
And the
You're
worst.
Right.
It's because it You're seems right. like you should be able to do it. But to your point, Dawn, it's hard because it doesn't always work out.
I end up giving up. I have a problem with shoes.
Yeah.
And I have some really nice shoes. I have my life impulse by shoes. And then they hurt.
Yeah.
It's the first time I wear them. And I go, I can't wear these nice Coach shoes, but I'm going to put them in the box. But I just, there's a lot. So coming up next, I want to talk to you about your process of reselling for people.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. If you just joined us, we're talking to Corey McDougald. She is a professional organizer. Her company is Meat and Potatoes Organizing. We have a link on our show links page right now for you to check that out and more with Corey. Welcome back to the show, The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. Bradley is gone. He's on vacation, but he will be back tomorrow. If you're just joining the show, we are talking to Corey McDougald. She's a professional organizer, and she can come declutter your home. It's Meat and Potatoes Organizing is her company. And you have to listen to the podcast if you're just jumping in now, because she's already given us so many great tips. From people that are just downsizing to trying to remove clutter from a home, or transitioning their parents into assisted living can be difficult. So you have a business that's really great for everybody, and you also resell stuff.
Yes, we do.
How often are the things you're selling worth anything?
Oh,
that's tough.
That's such a good question. I'm going to give my honest answer, which is probably not the popular opinion.
It's fine.
But unfortunately, your things are worth pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
There's very rare occurrences where you do have that unique collection or trader's item that maybe could be resold for a lot of money, but it is so rare. I'm talking like maybe we've run into that once.
No kidding.
Yeah. So we typically resell things on Poshmark and eBay, which means, which we'll get back to your topic on shoes, because that's a great topic.
Yes.
Things that are easily shippable. And as we were talking about kind of coming out of the pandemic, we get used to purchasing things.
It's so easy.
And it feels good, and it gives us that dopamine hit that we're looking for. But did you know that selling things can also feel really good?
Yes.
And so we try to convince people on the other end of that spectrum. So maybe we set up a selling station where you're now selling the shoes that make your feet hurt really bad.
Most
and
of
you're
them.
Making some money.
Yeah.
You know, versus it just sitting there.
Right.
I know. Or donating, which could be good too. But, you know, sometimes you're like, well, I spent a lot of money on these shoes. I at least want, you know, $40 back or something.
It was such a good deal, Corey.
Exactly. It's
well,
always a good deal.
40% off.
Yeah.
It can be tough. I feel like this is just my own segment now to talk about the problem I have.
You speak for the people.
I have an embarrassing thing, and that is a 10x10 storage unit.
Oh gosh.
Dun, dun, dun.
No, this is the first time in my life.
Ours is just for Christmas things.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Mine is my life. When I moved in with my boyfriend, it's like, I had a whole life too before I met you.
Yeah.
See, I'm getting emotional about it. Yep. It's like I had to give up a whole bunch of things, and now I'm getting it smaller. But do you ever just organize storage units?
We definitely do. You are not alone. Many people have the 10x10.
Yeah.
So typically when people rent a storage unit, it's because they're going through some life transition,
mm-hmm.
right? So like you're moving in with boyfriend or something, you know, there's a transition that happens and we need that storage unit to buy time before we make decisions.
What about 6 years?
Hey, 6 years is...
I think we're on four.
Okay.
Now, so your situation, Chris, is a little different because you're storing holiday stuff, right?
Primarily.
And that's the thing. Some houses just do not have great storage. So like, let's say you've got trees and tubs and, you know, and you want to make your house a winter wonderland and there's no spot to store this stuff. Then I would say, okay, storage unit, like definitely a good idea. If you're willing to go out there, grab everything, bring it back every year, you know, before and after holiday, that's great. But I will say for example, Dawn, in your case, when you've got it for 6 years, let me ask you this. How often do you go back and grab stuff from there?
Every couple of months. I'm like,
do you know where everything is in there? Like, could you find stuff?
Now that I've donated a bunch of furniture and gotten rid of mattresses, I mean, the boxes are labeled.
Perfect.
I'm obsessed about that.
That's good, yeah.
And you can walk, half of it is open.
Okay.
So it's like, now I can walk in there. There's
it's
a
not
path.
It's not just, you know, all
right.
shoved up.
Yeah, but it's things, I think what's holding me back is, this is so terrible, but all of my baking, like, what if I don't have this boyfriend?
Well, this is, listen, I was going
and
to.
And then I'm like, then I won't have anything. It'll be sad. I'm moving out. I won't have pots and pans. Like,
I was going to jump in as your counselor now.
Thank you.
Is there a reason you're keeping it there?
Right.
Is there a deeper reason?
There really isn't, other than I've always been super independent. So I just, letting that part of me go makes me feel empty inside.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to pay $150 a month for this storage.
Yeah, there's that, right?
So think about this. We use something called the 20-20-20 rule. If you can purchase this item for $20 in under 20 minutes, like Amazon or something, we can let it go. So if you think, okay, all of your pots and pans are in there, but you might be able to buy them for $20 under 20 minutes, it's not worth the $150 a month for the storage unit.
Mm-hmm.
That's so great.
That.
Even that concept is going to help me so much, really.
Yeah.
I think I have some also just memories of things that I've done. Like,
yeah, I keep work stuff. I've got a...
But that's okay.
Bins of
like,
work stuff. But
you don't need a store. Okay, so here's what I'm saying. For that kind of stuff, I think you can pare it down to a memento box, tub of memories that doesn't have to live in a storage unit.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I would beg to say you could probably pare that stuff down to what's most meaningful if we, you know, go through the process and store it in your boyfriend's in your house.
Yeah,
or,
there's
you know,
room.
Find a spot, but it's not worth paying for a storage unit every month. Typically in those situations. But again, everyone's storage at their home is different. So then, you know, my other question, I said, okay, well, maybe it's okay for you to have a storage unit because you have all this Christmas stuff. But I never asked you, what does your storage room look like at home?
We don't have much storage at all in our house. So, it's an old house. So, you know.
And then that's a good situation. And then that's like probably the best case scenario.
Well, it's out of sight, out of mind too. But then I get, you know, which is different than, you know, somebody coming into your house when this stuff's everywhere and it's hanging around you and it's it's mentally taxing you.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
So for somebody to want you guys to come in, tell us about the process. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so we always start with a complimentary consultation. So we come to your house, myself. So, and just to be kind of clarify, Meat and Potatoes Organizing, we have a professional organizing team. We're one of the only teams in the Midwest. So I have 15 organizers that work for us. So we always work in either pairs or groups of three because we like efficiency, right? So in order for us to get a good grasp on how many hours we think this is going to take, we got to see the stuff. Yep. We got to see the good, the bad, the ugly. We ask you not to tidy before we come over. Don't touch anything. Don't clean. We want to see what systems are working for you. We want to see what systems are not working for you. What have you had success with in the past? And then we're learning all about your tendencies, too, because organizing is more than just putting things into a bin and putting it behind closed doors, because also, we work with a lot of neurodivergent clients. That's going to require different types of bins, systems, and labeling versus some people who are like the classic type A, must be in a box labeled behind closed doors. So we work with a variety of people. So first and foremost, we want to come in. We want to see everything.
Yeah.
That way we can say, okay, I think it's going to take three organizers about this much time to get through the kitchen, the basement, what have you. We also want to see where things are backed up. So let's say the kitchen is a dumping grounds for everything in your house. Kids come home, it's on the kitchen table. Mm-hmm. Husband comes home, dumps the mail there. Like, so what systems aren't working and where does it break down? Like, are things living in the kitchen because there's no other spot for them to live? And if that's the case, you know, what do the closets look like? What do the storage areas look like? So if kitchens are a priority, then we want to organize. Maybe we start in the basement. We start in the HVAC room. We create a storage system for you there for things that need to live there, but maybe don't need to live in your kitchen. And then we can get rid of some of those things and kind of work our way through that way. So maybe you weren't even thinking you needed your basement or garage organized, and now you're like, oh, yeah, I think we do need to start there in order to get to my kitchen.
Yeah.
So we want to see everything, and that's we want the whole house to flow for you. We don't want to just attack one area and then it get cluttered again because the root of the problem hasn't been addressed.
Oh, my gosh, this is so great. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We have to run here, but I have all your information on our website. Go to mytalk1071.com. You can find on our show links page how to get a hold of Corey McDougald and Meat and Potatoes Organizing.
Yes, thank you guys for having me so much. This has been awesome.
Great. Did a great job. Thank you. All right, and coming up next, we are going to talk about Reba and Taylor Swift. Is there a rift going on? Does she secretly hate Taylor Swift? Chris has all the details on My Talk.